So we're pleased to welcome to the program Grace McAuliffe and Carrie Byrne of the Quincy Parks Conservancy to talk a little bit about what the Conservancy is, what it does, how you might be able to participate, and also about a new project at Passanaquesset Park. So Grace, Carrie, hey, nice to see you both.
Nice to see you. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Joe.
Oh, pleasure. Hopefully we can do it in person next time. In the meantime, this will have to suffice. And Grace, I thought maybe if we could just chat with you a little bit about the Conservancy itself, what it is, who you folks are, and what you do here in Quincy.
Sure, absolutely. The Quincy Parks Conservancy is an all-volunteer, not-for-profit organization. It is, the board consists of members of the community, either business members or residents of the community. And we serve in the capacity to protect, promote, and preserve all of the, I'll use the word open spaces, I don't want to get into a zoning issue, but empty or open spaces, so that people have a place to go to de-stress, to relax, and to enjoy, to commune with nature, and just feel a little bit better for a little while in the middle of their busy day. And we're really pleased to do that in partnership both with the DCR and with the City of Quincy, who has been a great supporter, and we have a great partnership working with them. Some of the projects that we have done in the past include some trails at Faxon Park. The Red Diamond Trail was rolled out a couple of years ago. We also worked very closely with the city on the new Hancock Adams Common. Of course, the city put together all of that great hardscape and really made a beautiful park, but we were pleased to play a role in bringing in all of the softscape. So we were able to underwrite and work with the developers to bring in all of the green trees and the bushes and just make it a little bit softer as well. And it's a really beautiful, beautiful park to be done there. We are now working, as you said, on the Passanaquesset Park project. And you pronounced it very well. It's very hard to pronounce and even harder to spell. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area that we're trying to really reforest and bring back to its original nature. And I know Carrie's got a lot of information on that as well. But the Conservancy basically is here to try to make sure that we have plenty of green space in this beautiful city. And as the city grows, and it's important that it has growth in the downtown community, we want to make sure we balance that by having nice open spaces for people to go to.
Great.
Yeah, we have so many great parks in this city. I mean, waterfront, so many beautiful parks. We're just really advocates for the community. And you know, not everyone grew up here. You know, I've spent most of my life here. And, you know, there's a lot of newcomers coming in just to make sure people are aware that we have an incredible treasure trove of, you know, for a city of nearly 100,000 people, we have an incredible treasure trove of natural assets. And we just want to advocate for those assets. And in conjunction with, you know, with our partners around the city hall, parks department, and whoever it might be.
Sure. How many members of the Conservancy are there now?
There are about a dozen folks that are on the Conservancy board and working together to bring this to be. Betty Jodakulis is our treasurer, David Mahoney, our secretary, Carrie, of course, Scott Campbell, Bill Geary, Louise Grabowski, Celeste McGlone, Kristen Powers, Fran Wright, and of course, the Honorable William Delahunt is a big help to us as well and has been part of our, one of our founding members of the community.
That was good, Grace. You rolled those all right off like that.
It's what I do, Carrie.
How did you yourself, Grace, get involved? You know, what was it that drew you to this mission?
What really drew me to this mission was it's very different than what I do in my day jobs. So it was something new. And I find in volunteering activities, people should focus on things that they haven't done before. So if you're always doing a particular I'm a finance function, so I'm always in financial matters. So for me, it was great to come into this, to learn something new, to have a new skill set and meet new people. So that's what drew me here. And just the fact that, as Carrie said, we do have so many great treasures. There are still places in this city where you can stand and feel like you're the only person in the world. Yeah. And for people to realize that and enjoy that, I think is really very calming and satisfying.
Sure. How about yourself, Carrie? What got you involved?
Yeah, I got involved as someone interested in the welfare of the community. And I ended up meeting, Grace and other members of the of the committee. And my background is mostly in media. As you know, I was a reporter for many years and got into consulting and public relations, and have worked with the city of Quincy itself. It's been a client for several years, but this is just another way to kind of put my, you know, we all have different skill sets. You know, Grace is talking about her financial background. I'm just trying to help, you know, with my connections with the media and people like you and elsewhere around the city and around Boston, just kind of give the park, give the Conservancy a voice and and help them promote themselves and stay in the kind of the public consciousness, if you will. And this project, Passing a Guess, it is such a big project. It's an ideal opportunity to not only help the city, but to tout what the Conservancy is devoted to and create more awareness of the Conservancy out there in the community.
Sure. Can just regular Quincy residents become a member of the Conservancy?
They could certainly join us. They can help us with volunteerism. They can help us in any way that they see fit. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we'd be pleased to add new members as that becomes appropriate. We are all volunteers. So again, the more the merrier, the more we can get people to help and reach out. I think that's better for the community.
Sure. Carrie, you mentioned Passing a Guess at Park. It's actually Passing a Guess at Park at Broad Meadows Marsh. And you did a great story about it in the latest edition of the Quincy Sun with some beautiful photographs that we're going to show folks in just a little bit. But maybe explain a little bit about what the park itself is.
So it's a 103 acre, it's a very large park, 103 acre tidal salt marsh that had gone through various industrial uses over the years, but historically was the home of Chief Chickatobbit of the Massachusetts Natives, for whom our state gets its name. And the Massachusetts people actually spent much of their time here on the shores of Quincy, from Massachusetts Hummock to Passing a Guess, which is basically next to Broad Meadows, part of Broad Meadows on Town River. The access points are behind Broad Meadows in the parking lot, but also there's an access point at the Quincy Youth Hockey Arena off of C Street. And it's a really large space with incredible history. And what happened is several years ago, I forget the exact year, I think 2015, several students at Broad Meadows School started doing research on this plot of land and found it had this rich Native history. And so as the Conservancy was interested in it, these girls, they were called the History Girls. You can Google them, Broad Meadows History Girls. I think they still have a website, and find a bit more about the historic details and the research they did. But, there's been treasure troves of Native artifacts found all over the Quincy coast, including at this spot. And, you know, what we're working on right now is really just to, it's a tidal marsh, but we want to bring like resting areas, feeding areas, various groves. And Grace has kind of really led the charge on pulling all that together. And just make sure people are aware, this is one of the biggest parks, Joe, in all of Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
103 acres, it's very small. There's hiking trails. You could go kayaking on the town river behind there. There's walking trails. And now with the Grove project we already started, there are seating areas, new flora meant to attract wildlife. It's actually recognized. Princeton University has recognized Passing a Guess at Park already as one of the East Coast great bird watching spaces already.
Wow.
And we're hoping to enhance that. And that's, in researching the park, I found that. But a lot of bird watchers go there, photographers. So there's already a lot of stuff there. We want to bring some areas to it to increase its beauty, bring more shaded trees, and resting areas too, and signage, and just give people another reason to visit the park.
The really interesting part I find is it wasn't always a park, right? It was basically, it was a landfill, right, Grace?
Yep. For a long time, and this is, you know, historically going back as far as World War II, it was used as a landfill for an awful lot of the dredging of Town River when the shipyard was the main staple in this area. So it's been a lot of things over many years, and it did take some time to kind of settle down, and the Army Corps of Engineers came in and did some cleaning up. And so it's still evolving, and it's not going to happen overnight. But the vision for this particular parcel of land, which has spectacular views, it literally, as Carrie says, you can see all the Town River, you can see a good part of that part of the city right from there. And the vision here really is passive recreation. We're not looking to have soccer fields, football fields, anything formal in this particular area. Really is to keep the natural elements of it and just enhance that. And as Carrie says, get a little bit of shade, because it can be hot out there in the sun walking around. So get some shade trees, places for people to just wander and meander. The South Shore Birding Club is also a big fan of this property. They have regular birding walks that are done, and they can identify every one of the 150 species of birds that live out there. And so when we started doing this research and started talking about what we wanted for this particular property, working in conjunction with Dave Murphy, who is the Commissioner of Natural Resources for the City of Quincy, we wanted to elevate the natural aspects of it and make sure that everything that we're putting in there is compatible with that. So we chose the trees we chose because they produce fruits and berries. And the fruits and the berries, they feed the birds. They also feed some of the smaller wildlife that lives around there. And so we're really trying to maintain the ecosystem and make sure it's a very natural and mutually beneficial place for all of the species of trees and animals that are living there currently.
Yeah, and Joe, you mentioned, people want to get involved with the conservancy. The big thing with this project, it's an ideal way for Quincy residents and people beyond Quincy to support the conservancy. We are raising money to build these groves. People can go to the QuincyParksConservancy.org website and find out how they can donate. The more we raise, the more we're going to be able to add to the park, the more greenery, the more wildlife we're going to be able to enhance, the more, like Grace said, passive recreation opportunities there'll be. So this is, if you want to help us enhance this park, this is, or, you know, get involved in the conservancy, right now is an ideal time to do it by, you know, sharing these stories, going to the website, donating, because, you know, there is significant cost to doing this, and sure. Much of what we do is raise money for parks and around the city. And this is basically our big project for at least the next year, Grace. I don't know, but this is going to involve a significant amount of time and hopefully raise a significant amount of money, which will allow us to continue to. There's already one grove in. We want to put in as many as possible, and that, you know, there are costs to that.
Right. And this is a multi-year project as well. So this isn't just going to be a 2020 event. We are expecting to have enough money to put in a second grove in the fall planting season. And that grove would be over near the Broadmeadows School. The grove we've just established is the one near the Murphy Rink entrance. We also have some signage that's on its way. Some beautiful hand-carved signs that will tell you that it's Pasakonesset Park and show you the way to the entrances. So continuing to do that on a year-over-year basis and just building it up as it heals, as that particular piece of land starts to heal from its many uses over many years, we want to be there to be able to support it and help that process.
I want to show folks some photos that you've shared. They can get a kind of a sense for at least what it looks like right now and what it could look like in the future. Maybe you could describe a little bit about what we're seeing. Yeah. We have one of those signs you were talking about.
Yep, so that looks like the sign near the bridge. And the History Girls, who were seventh graders in 2013 at Broadmeadow School, set about this project, doing all of this research into this land and kind of raising the initial awareness of that. And you can actually connect to their site through our site, so at QuincyParksConservancy.org. And if you go to Pasakonesset Park page, we have a link to their site, which will show you all of the history and research that they've done. They've put in several of these signs that talk about Chickatobit Homestead, that talk about the natural resources. And certainly we'd like to do more of that as we start to go through the park and through the trails and start to enhance it and build more groves to draw people further and further in and still knowing that they have some shade. But yeah, that was a great project.
Yeah, and this sign specifically is describing the Massachusetts people. And, you know, anyone who grew up here in Quincy, right, we're all kind of proud of our history, but we usually associate that with John Adams and John Hancock and the City of Presidents and all that. But in reality, we were basically the home of the Massachusetts natives. I mean, our history, you know, the history of the land we live on goes back, you know, thousands of years. It goes back long before the arrival of Europeans. And when Europeans came here, Chief Chickatobit was the head of the Massachusetts people. Now, they lived in different areas, but I don't know this for a fact, and I might have read it here or I read it somewhere, but it's believed that Pasakonesset might have been Chief Chickatobit's ancestral home, specifically this land. And I don't know where I read that. I don't want to commit to that 100%, but I had read something like that somewhere, and that maybe he had family buried on this land. You know, you go all the way from Massachusetts Hummock, you know, obviously there's signage there on Quincy Shore Drive in the northern end about the natives, the Chickatobit and the Massachusetts people living there. But also where Caddy Park is today, I forget what university, I think Northeastern or BU several years ago, found a massive treasure trove of native artifacts at what's now Caddy Park, including tools they used to hunt whales. I mean, they hunted whales in Quincy Bay. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe now, they weren't large whales, but they hunted whales in Quincy Bay. And so this was actual, you know, our history, the history of our community goes well beyond the Adams, you know, the Adams and the Quincy families, which we're all proud of, but we actually have a deeper, richer, older history than even most people realize, which is one reason why personally I'm excited about this park and the work that those history girls did. I grew up in Adams Shore. I grew up right across from Broad Meadows. I never knew any of this until those girls at Broad Meadows, and I wish I had their names off the top of my head, I apologize. But I never knew any of this growing up there until I read their research. So I'm fascinated by it. And it's just another reason, if you're going to consider supporting the Conservancy in our effort to work on these groves and this plant life, there's just another, it's not just beautification. It's also connecting with our history going back to you know, the history of the native people here in Quincy.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's happening during this pandemic, I think. You know, Grace, do you find the connection between how important outdoor spaces have become, and also the discussion that's going on in this country right now about its founding, about race relations, and about how all this kind of ties together?
Well, I think having been in my house for 3 months, it was a great project to be able to go out and to see the grounds and work with the folks that were doing the planting. MJ Nichols Company did the planting for us, and they did a fantastic job. Yeah. But to be able to be part of that and to be outside working and feeling the earth, yeah, I think we got a sense, or at least I got a sense, I can't speak for everybody, of how precious the earth really is, and how the connection to the earth is what keeps people going forward. So being able to, yes, thank you. That's a lovely picture of the grove. So being able to sit there, in no matter which direction you sit, you can look forward, you can look back, you get an absolutely stunning view of this part of the city, and you just really just start to feel how connected people are with the earth, and they need to take care of each other. So I was really refreshed by that, and just being able to take a few minutes to sit there and just feel a sense of calm. And I think that's certainly what we all need today.
What part of the park are we looking at right now?
We're actually looking backwards. So the V comes in this way and looks towards the Murphy Rink entrance.
Okay.
The bushes behind it. So you're literally looking at almost the Murphy Rink is just to your left there. And that's up about 10 feet. I want to say the elevation there is about 10 feet on a mound. And so you really can see all of, if you're looking the other way, you can see all of Town Brook. And it's absolutely lovely.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, this is, you know, one of the other aspects. This is a tidal salt marsh, and they're one of the richest in this part of the country. Tidal salt marshes are essential to the ecology of the region. And to have this area reclaimed as it was to be a natural tidal salt marsh is really, it contributes a lot to, you know, this, you know, the shellfish in the community, other forms of aquatic life, and not only that, all the grasses that need to grow in salt water. There are, you know, certain things that grow in these environments. So having this land reclaimed as a natural tidal salt marsh is really contributing to the ecology of the city.
Yeah, and I've been in Quincy a very long time too, and I remember the Phragmites brush fires that would frequently happen in this part of the city. So to get control of that, to maybe keep the insect population down as well with this flushing of the salt marshes, lots of benefits.
Yeah, Joe. So you're reminding me of something. When I was a kid, I grew up right across from one of the marshes in Adams Shore, opposite from Broad Meadows. And we had those Phragmites fires all the time. I mean, all summer long, those things burned. Yep. I didn't know that was an invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't natural. Those are an invasive species. And I spent my whole life walking through the marsh. We had forts in the marsh and trails and everything. But I was an adult before I realized those weren't a natural part of our ecology. So this land here is really trying to bring back what Town River, what the Quincy waterfront might have looked like, you know, 300, 400, 200, right, whatever years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we won't get rid of them permanently, but we're going to do our very best to kind of keep them at bay and not let them take over again.
Sure. Now, the photos that we just saw, I mean, there was some money spent already. Those benches are not inexpensive. The plantings, the landscaping, how did that all get funded?
It was funded by the Conservancy through these generous donations from people all across the city. We have some fundraisers. We usually have a fundraiser once a year. We weren't able to have it this year, but we do. We have corporate sponsors. We have individuals, people who give $25, people who give $250. But it really is grassroots. It's not a corporate funding. They're not grants. We have grassroots fundraising that brought this about, and we continue to have some pretty loyal folks.
I'm going to show a couple of vegetation photos here. This one is absolutely stunning, I thought, when I saw this for the first time.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, obviously it's going to take a year or two to get that big, but that's going to be absolutely stunning to sit and see that comparison to all of the grasses and the other natural elements. That's really beautiful.
And that's one. Is that the red cedar, Grace? You're more attuned to the actual.
Yep, which does produce that actually the small critters, the small mammals, love to eat those leaves. And then we have the tulip berries and the service berries that produce berries for the birds and other other animals that eat berries. So it's really sustaining as well.
And a lot of these were chosen, Joe, to be colorful, to be beautiful, not just practical, but also be attractive and flower at different times of the year, different colors at different points. And so that's all part of the plan. That Grace was a lot more involved in than I was, but working with MJ Nichols and the Quincy Parks Department, which, they've selected things for not just to be able to support, wildlife and but also to be beautiful. We mm-hmm. want this to be beautiful.
Who knew there was such a thing as a tulip tree?
Or this project either, but it's lovely. It's beautiful and contrasting with the others as well. I think it's going to give the eye a whole lot to really enjoy. Even if you aren't in the grove, you're going to be able to see this from other parts of the area. And we hope to do more of this. We have a lot of trees in Quincy, and it's a very green city. It's a very beautiful city. But we wanted to, again, as Carrie said, really take this part of land and not make it look like Marina Bay or some other part. What was it a couple of hundred years ago that it looked like? And we might have been standing here then. What would we be seeing? And
so
we can work around that.
Now, accessibility-wise, how does the public access past Senegasset Park at Broad Meadows Marsh?
Sure. Both entrances have parking lots. One is the Broad Meadows School parking lot, and the other is the Murphy Rink parking lot. So both entrances have access points with parking. The trails are natural trails. They are not paved trails.
Okay.
We don't intend to pave them, but they are hard, and so I think it's accessible to almost all by going through there in wheeled vehicles, and the grove itself has a winding path up to it. It's not a very steep incline.
Okay.
So I think most people can get up to it for about 10 feet of mound up. And the walking trails are all hard packed. They're mowed regularly so that they're plenty of accessibility. And I think most people could find it, some part of it. Maybe you're not going to go all of the trails, but some part of it you could do a loop and just enjoy the view and get yourself out and get a little fresh air.
You can bike down there too, Joe. Yeah. I've biked down there several times. You probably don't want a thin-tied road bike because it's a not like Grace said the trails are natural, but a good riding bike, mountain bike even, and it's flat. There's no hills, but you can get a good ride in there. I mean, you could. I'd have to measure it someday, but I mean, there's going to be a couple miles of trails, Grace.
That's total 6 miles of trail.
What's that?
About 6 miles.
Is it that many? Yeah. Yes.
Do the entire loop. About 6 miles. Probably 2 to 3 if you're coming from the Murphy Rink to Broad Meadows, but there is another loop out that you could take as well. So long walk, short walk, mountain bikes would be fine. Dirt bikes are not permitted out there because that would cause damage, but mountain bike would be fine.
Yep.
And strollers, anybody could get a stroller out there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's accessible to most.
Sounds like, as you say, passive recreation, go sit, read a book, take a lot of photos, it looks like.
Oh, yes.
The opportunity.
Listen to the birds, yep.
Bring your binoculars, for the birds. Is it lighted for nighttime or no?
It's not. I don't recommend you go out there at night. Maybe in future phases of this, we might be able to do something about that. But right now, it's pretty dark out there at night.
Sure. And is the plan, how much of the park would be developed, Grace? What's the plan, for the final phase?
Well, it's a multi-year. I mean, it could take us 6 or 7 years to get where we're going to be, depending upon levels of funding and availability and a lot of other factors. But I think our intent and the commitment on the Conservancy in partnership with the city and the Commissioner of Natural Resources is to bring that back to full restoration so that everybody can enjoy as much of it as possible and get as far into it as we possibly can.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry.
Joe, if you don't mind, there are different levels of sponsorship if someone wants to go to the Conservancy. QuincyParksConservancy.org. If someone wants to donate $5, that'd be great. We do have different sponsorship levels, starting with pedal sponsors for $100 up to a curator circle for maybe, you know, businesses, yeah, you know, if they up to $5,000, mm-hmm. like I said, every dollar helps, but, and you know, this each, the more we raise, the more intense, you know, the more, just basically the more we can do and the more creative we can be too. Like, it's not to be an all natural project, but we can be more creative with, you know, with different levels of funding. So.
Sure. And who is responsible for the maintenance of the park? Is it strictly the city?
The city owns the land, and they are primarily responsible for it. We're helping out. We had some water trucks brought in to kind of get the grove established, that sort of thing. But it is city-owned land, and the Parks Department will be taking care of it.
Okay, very good. And are there, you know, waste receptacles and city services provided there?
There aren't any city services provided as yet. This okay. is the first grove that we've been able to get off the ground. We hope to get the second grove off as well. So please don't bring your trash, or if you bring it, take it back out with you.
Yes.
And leave it as you found it when you're using that area. But you, as we continue to move on, those are the type of hardscape things that will cost some money. We would want to be able to put kiosks, maybe a little information booths, additional signage, more stone benches. So those are the things that will cost the money in the years to come.
Okay, very good. Anything else you think we should add?
Oh, Carrie, anything else?
No, just appreciate the opportunity, Joe, to talk about it. We're excited about it. It's a big project, but one we hope brings attention to this park that if you've driven down C Street at any time in your life, and every person in Quincy has, you've been up 150 feet from this park
right.
without even knowing it. So it's an incredible asset right within easy reach of every person who lives in Quincy. And not just Quincy. I mean, you can, you know, it's anybody, not limited to, yeah.
Anybody can come.
Frank,
yep. Anybody, come on in and see it.
You can actually see it from the Southern Artery by the old Southern Tide Mill and behind CVS there. If you look across, you can see it.
Yeah.
You can absolutely see it. And you know, we're just really excited for this opportunity. We thank you. It's not very often in a city of our size that you get to build a new park. And to be a part of that and to bring back this natural resource and make people aware of it is something we're very proud of.
Sure. Do you utilize social media at all for the Conservancy or reaching out that way?
Carrie does.
We have a Twitter account, we have a Facebook page. I do a lot of my stuff personally. I have a pretty large personal social media following, so if people want to look me up on Facebook, KerryByrne, on Twitter, it's not our primary method of communication, but we are active in social media, and I do a lot of it personally just because that's kind of my business, if you will, and
sure.
and we can reach a lot of people around the city that way.
Yeah. So. Any, I mean, obviously because of the pandemic, in-person events are limited, but any virtual events coming up this year?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and we should probably talk more about doing that. We are very much an in-person kind of group. All
yeah.
of our events had always been in-person, whether it was the Faxon Trail Park or the Easter Egg Roll or anything that we've done. And our Toast the Parks event, which is our signature event, unfortunately doesn't look like it's going to be able to happen this year.
Yeah.
But that was always well attended, and we were trying to launch a project in association with the Dorothy Quincy Homestead and the National Society of the Colonial Dames of America to bring pop-up to the Quincy Dorothy Quincy House. We had held our Toast the Parks event there a year or two ago, and it was extremely successful.
Ooh.
And so we've been working out trying to get that done and bringing restaurants and entertainment in
mm-hmm.
to help enhance that one. Unfortunately, they've closed for the season. They're not expecting to be open until 2021.
Yes.
So we can look forward to that in 2021 to have pop-up entertainment and pop-up restaurants at the Dorothy Quincy Homestead. But I think as a board, we need to see what we can do more virtually and maybe yeah. get a tour of the grove out there. I know we've got some drone footage we're working on.
Oh.
So hopefully we're going to put together a video and get that out on our social media sites.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mike Cheney, who a lot of people in Quincy know, helped us. He's a photographer and volunteered to help us do some drone photography. So we appreciate him helping us out with that. Just real quick, let me just touch back on social media. We do have Quincy Parks Conservancy on Facebook, QP Conservancy on Twitter. If people want to reach out to me personally, like I said, and we did just create a page for Passing a Guest at Park on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
just so you can, if you're there, you can tag it. So you can, you know, say, hey, I'm here at Passing a Guest at Park. Make sure you tag the park. So we're trying to build some awareness of the park that way. So the park has its own Facebook page now.
Okay, very good. Coming of age.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great asset, and you've inspired me to go out and check it out myself. I've been, like you say, Carrie, past that a gazillion times and never stopped to look at it, so I can't wait to see it. Thank you both very much.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Grace.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day, guys.